I don't know about the rest of you, but I've really enjoyed this message series, Mighty to Save, which has been based entirely upon the first few books of the Old Testament. And so this final message within that series corresponds with one of the final messages that Moses delivered before his death. Now I want you to consider for a moment all that Moses experienced with the people of Israel. Think about how Moses was used by God to miraculously deliver the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. Consider how when the Egyptian army later pursued Moses and the Israelites, when they were hedged in by the Red Sea, how the Lord miraculously used Moses to part that sea and to allow the Israelites to safely passage through on dry land. Think about how Moses and the Israelites spent 40 years together in the wilderness. 40 years together. In the wilderness of all places. And during this time, the Lord revealed His Word. He revealed His commandments. He gave them to Moses, who in turn communicated the commandments and the law to the people of Israel. As you can imagine, there are times in the desert when the people were hungry and the Lord fed them. There were times when the people were thirsty and the Lord gave them something to drink. The Lord had delivered this people time and time again. He had sustained this group of people in the harshest of conditions, and yet this group of people struggled to do what the Lord required. They struggled to obey the word of the Lord. So Moses, perhaps sensing that his life was coming to an end, issues this final challenge to the people. He essentially says, make up your mind. Make up your mind with regard to your allegiance to the Lord. Look at verse 15. Moses says, see, and most Bahamian translations render it, look here. Look here, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. The people have a choice to make, and it's not a complicated choice. Moses says, love the Lord and be devoted to Him, and you'll live. Or you can continue to chase after the gods of other nations, and you'll die. Now, if you've ever been a part of a business meeting where there's a really important decision to be made, or an important proposal that's on the table, or if you've been at a church meeting where there's a really important decision to be made, almost inevitably you'll have someone at the table who will put up their hand and say, we need more information. We can't make a decision on something this big until we do a little more research and gather a little more information. When confronted with a significant choice, most of our instincts say we need to put on the brakes and we need to do some more research. For many of us, the bigger the issue, the more extensive our research needs to be. And what often emerges from these kinds of meetings is someone says, I think we should form a committee. I think we should have a task force look into this, and the committee is charged with getting more information and making a recommendation. So you might expect, with this life or death choice on the line, that Moses would make allowance for some meaningful contemplation and deliberation. But no, Moses essentially says, there's no need to delay your answer. Make up your mind. The facts are near and the facts are clear. In Moses' own words, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult. It's not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It's not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. nor is it beyond the sea, so that you have to ask who will cross the sea in order to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey. In other words, you don't need any more information. You don't need a committee to get this right. The options that Moses sets before the people of Israel are clear. Charles Spurgeon, from the 19th century, would have us note that if this previous dispensation, the ancient one, had a clear path for the people to follow, how much clearer is the path marked out for us by the gospel? Friends, what is required of us today is not too difficult to understand. The call of Jesus is exceedingly simple. Jesus says, "Believe in me." Jesus says, "Follow me." The gospel of Christ is so simple that even a child can understand it. But perhaps because of pride, we imagine the call of God to be more complex. Or we imagine that more must be required. This is too easy to just believe, to follow. More must be required. We imagine that we must earn salvation by attaining to a certain level of theological understanding. Or that we attain to a certain level of diligence in terms of how we obey the commands of God. No. The way of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is more simple than that. And I concede that there are parts of the Bible that are difficult to understand, but I agree with Alistair Begg, who insists the main things are the plain things, and the plain things are the main things. The best summary of what is required might be found in Acts chapter 16. There the jailer asked Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved?" To which they answer, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." Very simple. Similarly, Paul says to the Romans, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved." It's important to remind ourselves that the gospel is plain. The gospel is simple. But how we respond to it is a matter of life and death. It's the difference between great blessing and judgment. I think of an illustration that Charles Spurgeon gives, where he suggests that if a man is starving, it's not necessary to explain to him the nutritional qualities of the food that you're setting before him. It's not important to know those things. What's most important is that the starving man eat the food. My concern is that our study of Scripture might resemble a scenario where we read the nutritional information on a product without ever eating what's inside the packaging. My concern is that we might say to our neighbor, "Oh, that was an interesting Bible study," or "That was an informative sermon," without ever applying what was presented. Detailed information is good. It can be helpful. But the only way to stay alive is to eat the food. You don't need to understand what it's made of, how it was produced, what's in it. You just need to eat it. If you're starving, eating it makes you stay alive. Some of you will remember this sermon illustration. I used it a number of years ago. It's a fishing story, and more than that, it's a true fishing story. It's a true fishing story. It was the summer of 2007, and the McPhails were taking a brief holiday at our cottage, which is on a beautiful lake. And in 2007, our daughter Anya was 5 years of age, and she wanted to go fishing with her papa. So I was pretty serious about my fishing in those days. If you could have only seen me, I had different rods for different kinds of fish that I wanted to get. I had a great assortment of lures. I had all kinds of accessories. Many of them I wasn't sure what they were for, but I thought it was impressive that if I had everything that the bait store would give me, I had live bait. So lures, live bait, I did everything possible. I had a plan and a backup plan and another plan. I was serious about fishing. Now, Anya, on the other hand, 5 years of age, she didn't think it was all that necessary to have those things. She had a pink plastic Barbie fishing rod. That's it. Pink plastic Barbie fishing rod and a single rubber worm on the end of it. So my thinking is, I need to be ready for every scenario. I need to be ready for whether we're in shallow water or deeper water. I need to be ready for whatever the temperature of the water is where we are, that I'm ready to adjust. Because for me, fishing was complicated. For me, fishing was complicated. But Anya was very different from me. She thought that all she needed was this pink plastic Barbie fishing rod and a rubber worm. That's because for Anya, fishing was simple. Fishing was simple. And I show you this differing approach to fishing that I had with Anya because it highlights the different ways people understand the gospel today. There are some people, and I've met them, there are some people who think that in order to respond to the gospel, they need to be familiar with the full tackle box of sophisticated arguments. There are some who imagine that before they can properly respond to the gospel, they need to sort through this giant container filled with every kind of biblical doctrine. For some, the gospel appears complicated. But in reality, the gospel message is profoundly simple. The main thing is the plain thing. And the plain thing is the main thing. And the implication of this is delightful. Whatever your background, whatever your level of education, whatever your occupation, whatever your socioeconomic status, whatever your situation, there is the same simple message to accept and respond to. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that what He did in His life and what He did in His death was for you. Now that's not to say that everything else in the Bible is unnecessary. It's not to suggest that everything else in the Bible that isn't the gospel is unimportant. It's all important. But it's vital that we be able to isolate the primary thing we need to know. Isolate the primary thing we need to know, believe, and act upon. Because that's exactly what Moses did. That's exactly what Moses did. Moses is at the end of his life. So he's dying. If you will, he's on his deathbed. And he gathers all the people together. And what he doesn't do is this. He doesn't say, okay, here we go. I've got time for one more sermon. Here it is. I want you to go over all the commandments again. First, we're going to go over the priestly laws. Then we're going to go over the dietary laws. Then we're going to go over the laws relating to purity and purification. Then once we've gone through all the laws, we're going to go over and review the calendar of feasts. Then we're going to make sure you've got the dimensions to the tabernacle right. No! Moses doesn't cover any of that ground again. He isolates the main thing and he asks them the question, where's your allegiance? Whose side are you on? What are you going to choose? Are you going to follow Yahweh? Are you going to chase after the gods that these pagans chase after? And then, as we might expect, Moses urges the people in a particular direction. He says, choose life. Choose life. And I want to suggest that that simple plea remains relevant for you and I today. You need not be distracted by the container full of secondary accessories. You don't need to unravel the depths of evolutionary science and reconcile that with what the Bible says before you can choose Christ. You don't need to decode every metaphor and every timeline in the book of Revelation before you follow Christ. I fully appreciate that there are portions of the Bible that are very difficult to understand. I probably wouldn't be gainfully employed if all of this book was easy to get. It's not all easy. If you read the book of Leviticus unsupervised, you're probably going to think, I need to change what I eat in order to get into heaven. You're going to read Leviticus all on your own and think, I've got to give up bacon or God's not going to accept me. If you read Ezekiel unsupervised, you're going to come away thinking, no one's going to understand this. There's not a person on earth who can make sense of the book of Ezekiel. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're probably going to ask the question that many do, why didn't these four guys get together? Why didn't they just consolidate their information and tell one story? The Bible has complex elements within it. The Bible has complex elements, but I am so grateful that the main thing is the plain thing. And the plain thing is the main thing. The gospel is profoundly simple. It caused the Apostle Paul to write to the Corinthians, I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Anya had it right. Fishing is simple. I think we have an image that we can project up here. Anya had it right. Fishing is simple. I know it's not a big fish, but what you need to know is she was the only one who caught any fish that day. With all my rods and all my lures and all my bait and all my accessories, because fishing was so complicated, I didn't catch a thing. And though the fish were not enormous, as you can tell, or maybe you can't even see the fish, I don't know, Anya caught two fish that day using nothing but a pink plastic Barbie fishing rod with a rubber worm on the end of it. Friends, what I want you to get from that is how important it is to understand that the gospel is simple. And as I think about what is most necessary for you to know in this life, I come to a full stop at Jesus. It is entirely about who Jesus is and what He has done. The birth of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, everything we need for eternal life is connected to Jesus. And to that end, I urge you and remind you, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not merely an exercise for your mind. That is a call to engage your will. It is a call to give your affections to Him. It's simple. Follow Jesus. Go where He leads you in His Word. Treasure Jesus above all else. Choose the life that He sets before you. I guess what I was trying to get at for this entire message series, which began, I think, in late August, The one thing I want you to take away with, it's there in Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. It's in the Old Testament in just about every page. It's the same message. It's veiled, but it's there. And it's the message I want to leave you with. The Lord Jesus Christ has demonstrated time and time again that He alone is mighty to save. Amen.